Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us on the program. We come your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. And we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. We link to our guests so that you can have access to all of the information that we do. And that's why, as I've said many times, we do not reinvent the wheel. There's no need for us to do that. It's already been invented, as it were, metaphorically by our guests. Today, we're going to talk about light atonement. We're going to find out what that's all about. We're going to talk about that with a star child. Her name is Ariana. And Ariana, thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
A very interesting story, and coming from someone who, I'm curious, what does it mean to be a star child?
Well, actually, I didn't know what it meant. You know, it meant until much later that star child means it's kind of hybrid between a star lineage and human. So basically, you know, I am half, you know, from star and half from human. So I understand, you know, both sides.
Well, now, you are, from a strictly physical sense, you are a natural-born a Japanese woman.
Correct.
So you had human parents as far as the physical body. So how does...
Totally correct.
Okay. So how does that make this aspect, this concept of being a star child, how does that come about?
Okay. I only found this out about 5 years ago. I volunteered to come to Earth to bring some certain messages. So my heritage is from the other side. And I met my family at Mount Shasta for the first time. And they told me I am, you know, they're my family. And I'm here to bring the message from them. And that's how it started. And I didn't know what it meant at the beginning because I didn't channel them. I only just met them briefly. But about 2 years ago, I started to speak this language, which is not from here. I call it light language. It's a language they speak of the seventh dimension.
And that language again is what?
Called light language. I call it light language because this language carries light and message. And it's not anything like English or any like language we have on the earth.
Okay, light language. Okay. And, of course, that's where the book Light Atonement has come from, as far as the title's concerned, correct?
Well, yes. Light Atonement title was given to me by my star family. At the seventh dimension where they come from, everything is done by the light and light frequencies. So Light Atonement means, you know, fixing the problem on the planet and everything that we have done through, you know, we're going to rebirth that through the light energy. That is the name of the book, and that's how it meant.
Now, when you first flip through the book itself, it looks like there is a certain aspect of it that is gives the reader something to do other than just read. It gives them mm-hmm. to sort of an opportunity to sort of participate in a manner of speaking in the writing of the book, because there are sections for them to jot down their thoughts and different things that they're guided to within the context of light atonement. But in terms of defining terms, which we've already done pretty well, help us to understand the concept of atonement.
I believe that the humans were not very kind to the earth, to each other, for a very long time. And we are at the place where there is no point of no return, where we have to reverse or change our way of living and thinking and working with the earth. So that is, this is our chance to make it right.
Are we going to?
I mean, we will. We won't have a choice.
Well, there are two choices. One is that we will make the proper choices and changes, and we will continue to survive as a species on the planet, or we won't make the right choices, and basically we'll kill off what is here for us to survive,
correct.
And
that's
the species
correct.
As man will cease to exist.
That is correct.
And so my question, you say we will make the right choices. Is that?
I think enough people are awake now, mm-hmm. and this is a time, and we have, as my staff family said, say that we have enough technology to make a difference. We don't expect to 100% of the humans to wake up and realize what we need to do. We don't need that, but if enough of us wake up, it could be just 10% of the population, or it could be 2% of the population, because the collective has power. So enough of us wake up and want to do the right thing, have a right intention, and try to live the way that we should live, I think the whole world is going to change. And I do believe we will do the right thing. And if I don't believe it, I wouldn't be here doing this.
I know that there is a great deal, I'm sure that you sense it as well, a great deal of pessimism on mm-hmm. on the part of a lot of people. They just don't see any point. They don't see any reason to continue this experiment, this schoolhouse, whatever you want to call it, because we just don't seem to be getting it right. And yet there are others who are struggling like you wouldn't believe to make it work, to fix it, to make it better. I saw this news report just the other day talking about this, what they call meteorological terms, this high pressure system that just sits over the west coast of the United States. It's just been sitting there, might move slightly to the east and then bounces back again. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I've always understood that the pressure patterns around the world are in constant motion. They're moving from west to east. Why is this one stuck? What is the phenomenon that is causing this thing? I mean, that's just one example of the fuel for the pessimism going, I mean, and I live in California. You're here in California. We know what's going on. We know that we're being told, and I stress that we are being told that we're in the midst of a devastating drought. Mm-hmm. And yet, as you and I are speaking, it's raining outside the studio. You know, and I'm not saying that this rain is supposed to relieve the drought that we're being told is there. But at the same time, you know, I have to wonder, we've been told a lot of stuff down through history that wasn't true. And we want to, and yet we as a people, the kind side of us as human beings wants to believe the good in all things, wants to find the good in all things. So my question is, where would we look? How, where do we start and begin that process?
Again, people like you and I and people listening to this radio, we are committed to make a difference. And that is the beginning. Because my staff family talked about drought this morning, actually. I was talking to them about the drought.
Mm-hmm.
They say the key to preventing future disastrous situation like this is preparation. That we learn what's going to happen if we don't prepare ourselves. So the learning is not enough. We need to do. So we learn that we have drought. Then we need to make a difference by knowing what we can do to change that. So it is time for us. I think we know what the problem is. We know the problem in so many things, but we haven't actually done anything about it. So I think that is a key right now. A lot of people know we have problems. Then our next step is let's make a difference. Let's start moving forward to make different, you know, outcome. Because if we know we don't do anything about it, of course we're going to keep getting the same thing and it's probably going to get worse. But now that we know, you know what, next step is how can we change this? How can we prepare this? What can each of us do? I think a lot of people are very, very depressed and not sure if we could do this because we feel everything that we need to fix is so huge. It's beyond our capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, as my book says, each one of us can take a small baby step. That's what I'm counting on. That's what we need to do. You know, in my book, I talk about be kind. I mean, if each one of us can be a little bit kinder and nicer to each other, caring more, caring for the earth, then we use less water. You know, if we, each one of us do a baby step, that's going to make the biggest difference.
Well, in terms specifically of the issue of water in the California area, we can only reduce our water usage by so much because we need water to survive. Just just drinking, you know, just to keep our bodies, our physical bodies hydrated. You know, our gardens, in a small sense, and our yards and those kinds of things, they can wait. Assuming that we can, you know, stay hydrated and so forth, so that we can continue to do the things we want to do. And that's another aspect of it, and that is that I don't know if you're familiar with the first rule of survival, is take care of number one. Because if you don't take care of number one, you're not going to be able to help anybody else.
Correct.
And so that's an extremely important lesson for us to learn. In terms of the message that you get from your star family, I guess, first of all, how long have you been in communion and communicating with your star family? At what age?
About 2 years ago, I started.
Only 2 years?
Yes. I mean, for a long time, I was clairsentient, which I knew deeply. I didn't know where they came from, the answers came from. But I didn't actually physically translate it or communicate with them directly until 2 years ago.
Define clairsentient.
Clairsentient is the people, like I say, clairvoyant. They see things. Mm-hmm. They see colors. They see future. They see things like a movie, you know, for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And clairaudience, they can hear. They can hear the angels talking to them. They can hear other beings talking to them. A clairsentient is somebody that we know, and we don't know where it comes from. Like, you know, they can't say how they know, but so those are psychics, they know because they do see. Like for us, we are the hardest one to explain because we deeply know, but I can't say why I know.
Right. So,
and of course, I don't know everything. I mean, I'm, again, human being, but I do know a lot of things. And now that I have a communication with my star family, that they could help me a lot with finding out what I know, why I know, and what I should do with the information I know.
Share with us a little bit, if you would, about your early years in terms of your spiritual and or religious upbringing.
Hmm. Well, I was raised in Tokyo, Japan, where religion is kind of very confused there. I mean, some people are Buddhist, but most people don't follow any religion. So we're not closed-minded, but not that we follow certain things. Many older people follow Buddhism, but as a young child, I really didn't follow anything, and I didn't see my parents do anything. So I actually stumbled upon Buddhism after I came to U.S. when I went to my meditation retreat. So, just religious-wise, I wasn't really familiar with anything until I grew up. For spiritual journey-wise, it started about 15 years ago. At the beginning was my emotional and personal growth side, where I went to Hoffman Institute, where I learned to learn about my emotions. And I learned there how to forgive, and I learned the meaning of unconditional love for the first time. That was my opening to my spiritual journey. And about a year later, I went to Vipassana meditation retreat. That was 11-day silent meditation retreat. That's where I got connected to my soul, or I found myself for the first time, where many people experience that, you know, when you sit in silence for a very long time, I realized that everything I was looking for was inside of myself. Love, happiness, peace, acceptance, everything I was searching from outside of myself was inside of me. So those two things really opened up my eyes. And from there, I was just nonstop. I read hundreds of books. I went to see many different healers. I worked on my energy. I learned so many things. I worked with crystals. And that's where it took me 10, 12 years to get to where I am at right now, that my vibration and frequencies are high and fast enough that I could channel my star family.
Now, you say that your vibration and so forth, your energy is high enough to where you're able to channel. Why was it necessary for you to raise the vibration to the level that it's at?
Because my star family couldn't have come in to speak through me if my vibration and frequencies are not at certain level. Meaning just not somebody who hasn't done any work. We humans have very dense body, dense energy, dense frequency. So there is no way my star family who comes from seventh dimension can come into those people and speak through them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
We don't have the capacity to, shall we say, translate or let alone receive the transmissions because they vibrate at a much higher rate?
Is correct. That,
okay.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So, pardon me. Now, I have had the opportunity. I've gone to your website, A Star Child, and I have listened to a little bit of one of your, watch one of your videos, where you do speak in, I believe it is the light language, mm-hmm. which is a very rapid sound, very fast-paced sound. It's not anything that I can understand. Mm-hmm. But you are able to obviously transmit it as well as to translate it. Am I correct?
Actually, no. I could transmit it, but I cannot translate into English. What they tell me is because it's for my own protection. Because if bringing down that language is hard enough, if I try to understand it at the same time, then my human capacity, human brain, wouldn't be able to do it. So I only transmit. At this moment, there are only very few people who can translate my light language. One of them is Kyle Matthews, who is mentioned in my book. He has been my mentor and friend throughout my journey. And he could translate, and they could talk to him through me.
Mm. Can you share with us a little bit about Matthew and his relationship to you beyond what you're talking about here in terms of the ability for him to translate?
Yes. He first met his guardian angel when he was 14. Just at night, he was running away from somebody in his dream, and he just decided to face it and just turn around and said, "Who are you?" And she goes, "I'm your guardian angel." And according to her, everybody, we all have guardian angels, one or two, and when we are young, they try to come to us twice in our dream. And we usually, those are like probably nightmares that, you know, we don't really face. But anyway, with Kyle Matthews' case, he faced her, and from there, she's in his life since he's 14. She's always around talking to him. And he started to, after meeting with his guardian angel, his third eye started to open, so he could start to see people's auras, things that, you know, normal humans cannot see. So he's clairvoyant, and he's quite talented.
We're talking with Ariana, a star child, and talking about the light language as well as Light Atonement, the title of the book here on the program, Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, the Peabody Award-nominated program that we're going to continue here in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Tell me your story.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm talking with Ariana, a star child, talking about the star family that she is a member of, if you will, from the seventh dimension. We're also talking about Light Atonement. We're going to talk more about that as well. And again, welcome back to our program, Ariana. I'm curious as to, since this has only been happening for you for the past 2 years in terms of this star family that you have I guess maybe I should say, have been reunited with.
Correct.
What was your first impression when you had that initial experience?
Is it when I started speaking or when I first met them?
When you first met them.
When I first met them, I was like, I guess I didn't think I was dreaming, because Kyle and other healers and psychics have told me I am going to channel and I'm going to meet my family sooner or later. So, but still, for me, the first experience I had with them was I was meditating in Manchester, and I, you know, went down the elevator and I went through ocean and went to their spaceship. And these alien-looking people showed up and said they told me they are my family. But then again, I'm a businesswoman at that point. I was working full-time, running, you know, a big corporation. And part of me believed it, but part of me is like, okay, then what? So that was my first meeting with them.
It's like, okay, well, what do you want me to do with this information? I mean, where am I supposed to go with this? You know, how is this supposed to impact my life? And in this case, it didn't just impact it, it changed it.
Completely, yes.
And I mean, you were involved in and part of an extremely successful multimillion dollar corporation and doing quite well. You probably could have continued on quite nicely, thank you, without what we might call this little interruption, if you will.
Yes, that is correct. But I believe now that the reason I was very successful and did what I did was so that I could continue on with my spiritual work. And if I, you know, didn't do anything in my life, where do I have a credibility? Or where do I have money to write my book and, you know, just do everything I want to do in life without getting worried about my future? So I think the doing my work as a furniture business was a foundation so that I could do this spiritual work.
Now you're a channel, you're a healer, you're a consultant, a philanthropist. A lot of different titles go with you. And I'm just curious as to, is it exclusively your star family that you channel?
I do exclusively channel my star family, who is three. But I also do channel what I call them time travelers. So sometimes different people come and speak. But one time traveler, that his name is Lanish, and his name and, you know, what he does is explained in my website at starchild.com. He works with me on this earth. So he doesn't have a physical body on this earth, but he says that he works with me on this path of making a difference in the humanity and the earth. So he comes in and speaks to me every day as well.
Hmm. And are there messages that you've received over the last couple of years that have been more profound, shall we say, than others, that have really struck you personally, not just because they're coming from your star family and from the source that you're getting them, but that just hit you in such a way that they've stuck with you even to this day?
Well, some of the stuff is more personal, where I have done in the past that they have told me, and that kind of gives me courage to face what I'm going to face. Because I'm you know, well aware, I'm an educated woman, business woman. You know, what I'm going to say and what I'm going to trying to do would be ridiculed or laughed at. But by knowing what I have done in the past, at past lives or in other dimensions, that I know I am capable and I could do what I need to do.
And what is it that you are here to do in that regard? What is, from what the messages you've been given, what is your purpose?
My purpose here, well, I'm a messenger, basically. That is my biggest purpose, where I bring right information which is helpful to humanity and earth so that we can make better future. But that is my main purpose. But at the same time, I come here with knowledge and information where I could help people. I'm learning more and more myself of how I can access this and give it to normal people. Because there are so many spiritual people or teachers who have taught, you know, for hundreds of years in different, you know, lineage. But I think what it is only people who are seeking could understand. So what I want to do is a few things. One is I want to bring these spiritual concepts to, I'm going to break down into, like, say, writing so everybody can understand. So people who have never meditated before could read my writing and see what they can do to make up and to wake up and move forward. That's one thing I want to do. The second thing I want to do is, since I could bring the information which is not available on this earth at this moment, I want to work with many corporations or world leaders who are trying to make a positive change. May that be, you know, bringing new kind of medication or medicine to help many, to millions, or may that be a technology which is not available, but they are working on it already, but they only just need a small information to finish that, you know, just formula.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things I can bring down that I can work with humans to make a difference. I'm going to help people to wake up what they can do to move forward to next level. That's what I want to do.
I know that a lot of our guests don't usually watch a lot of television or movies, so I don't know what your position is in that regard. But there was a movie that I watched just recently, and actually it came out last year in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Interstellar.
I did watch that.
You've seen that. Mm-hmm. So then you have an idea of maybe where I'm going here, in that, not to give too much away to our listeners who haven't seen it and are still planning on it, it was fascinating to me to see the awareness of some of the characters that it's not some outside source,
mm-hmm,
that is trying to help us,
mm-hmm,
but it's us.
Yes, the answers are within us, and we forgot. And I am here, I'm hoping that I could help people remember what we can do, what we are, where we come from, and what we are capable of.
You know, I find it interesting. You said earlier that we have all the technologies necessary, and I would say above and beyond, to resolve a lot of the challenges or the issues that face us on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
But we just, for whatever reasons, refuse to use them.
I think a lot of humans are lost in the power struggle, that people want to be in power, whether it's good or bad. And I think a lot of people who have ability to make a difference is not stepping forward to do so, maybe because of their, you know, greed, or don't know exactly what that is, but, you know, I think this is where our consciousness has to evolve, and we have to do what's right for not just for us, but for our children and for everybody. Because at the end, you know, people who have been on the path know that we are all one and the same. So the people who are struggling are us. You know, people who are, you know, controlling are us. But all of us has to kind of step forward from that role and do what's right. And I think it is time that a lot of people are waking up, and because a lot of lights are coming down to the earth, so the people can wake up where this wasn't 10 years ago. I speak with my healer friend all the time, and she wasn't like this at all. So this is a time that we can all do a small step forward to make a difference.
Hmm. I'm curious about some of the other aspects of our continuing transformation as we move forward in time, as it were,
mm-hmm,
and to get your impression on a couple of things. What can you and your star family share with us in regards to what is referred to as the indigo children?
Mm-hmm. I mentioned Indigo Child or Indigo Children in my book because my son is one of them. They are the children who came to Earth remembering parts of who they are, where they come from, or their past, so they can use that information for the, you know, development of the human and Earth, and so they can become the leaders in the future if they choose to. And I believe it is opportunity that many of us who came to Earth, you know, we sign a contract that we'll forget everything. That's why we get to come down as a. But these children were allowed to remember. So their evolution, their influence can be much greater. And they don't have to go through what you and I or many of us go through 30 years of spirituality to get to what we know. My son could communicate with his higher self, guardian angels, see all the colors without even trying anything. And to me, more of those people, they can help. And I think that's what we are heading toward anyway.
Well, I certainly become more encouraged by conversations such as this. I know, too, that there is not only speculation, but even evidence to support the existence of humans on this planet for not just 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 years, but thousands, tens of thousands of years. And that it is said that we have been down this path 3 or 4 or 5 other times to the brink, if you will. Mm-hmm. And all of the other times, we went over the edge. Your perspective on that, is that something that is that something that we can look at and say, okay, all right, so it's been done before. We're not going to finish it in the way that our predecessors did.
I feel it's different this time around. I mean, I was told in the past, different healers, that I was here, say, 1,000 years ago in China, tried to do the same thing, and it failed because it wasn't the right time and people were ready. And I feel I'm back with same mission, but I feel this time it's different. I think there are a lot of help coming from the cosmic to the Earth because they know that we could do it now. I believe we could go to a different future than what we have done in the past.
Well, I do know that as I have an opportunity to look back down through our human history this time, that it just seems to me a waste of time, again, a human construct, but nonetheless, that we blow it and then, we get another chance. We'll come back and we'll do it again. It's like, no, let's get this done so we can move forward. Because it seems as though there's a certain element of this that, and if your sense is correct, that this time is different, that maybe this time we get to graduate and we get to go on to the next level instead of staying stuck here 4 and 5 times and what have you, repeating these same, it's my judgment, obviously, but these same silly little games that humans just seem to want to persist in playing.
I think we are at the end of the game that I don't think we will be allowed to continue if we don't make it right this time.
Really?
I do.
Because I've asked that question often on this program of late. You know, most of the folks are very optimistic, and so
I am optimistic. I believe we can make a difference.
Right.
Because this is the last chance.
Well, I've put forth this question that, you know, does mankind deserve, let alone have the right, to continue on as a species?
Okay, that's another question.
Different question.
Deserving or we have to do it right is two different things.
Okay.
I go down all the time wondering myself, do we deserve to stay here?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not because we caused a lot of destruction we did. You know, it's not because we didn't do anything and we are in this hole. We dig our hole. But can we, if we wake up and if we want to make a difference, if we work together towards the right goal, can we make it? That's another, it's a different question. And I believe yes. And yes, because if we don't, I think we won't have another chance.
Ariana is my guest. She is a star child. She is in communication with her star family in the seventh dimension. And we're talking, well, we're talking about a lot of different things, but also talking about her book, which is Light Atonement. Let's talk a little more about that. Now, obviously, I've already asked you a couple questions in regards to that. Indigo children is one area. But let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are encompassed within Light Atonement in terms of what that means to, well, what that means to me. How does that affect my life? How do I use it?
My book, I first wrote this book as my memoir. You know, I wanted to tell people, you know, how I came to channel and, you know, my intentions work in the future. But then I realized that people need to have a takeaway. You know, if they don't think it's their life, they would just read it and just move on and forget about it. So I put reflection sections after each chapter. So what I go through my life in different chapters of my life, I am asking readers to look at their life and also make realize that what that meant to them, what they learned from that, and what they want to do. If it's something unpleasant, are they going to make a difference in the future? So for this book, I wrote it so that this book first carries energy. So people read this book, I think they will feel it, that I'm giving people opportunity to open up and step forward and take next step. The second thing is each one of them will get different answers, a different lesson from this book. So everything I say in this book is not for everybody, but you may learn one thing from this book, but that's enough because that's what exactly what you needed to learn from this book. So for me, this book is, anyone can read this book and learn something that they need to learn right now to make a difference.
Are you able to contact folks higher up? I mean, with your business acumen and so forth, you must have the capabilities of contacting folks high up in not just the corporate world, and what their reaction and response to who you are and what message that you bring in this regard, in terms of making this world a better place for all of us. In order to move forward, in order to graduate and go on to the next level, what is the receptivity of your communication with the business world these days?
Actually, I was more in a cave for many, many years. As you know, I have been on a spiritual path. Even though I was running my company, my energy was spent between my family and, you know, writing this book, finding out who I am. So I really haven't been connected to many of the higher people that which I'd like to connect. So this is like having an interview with you today.
Mm-hmm.
I am hoping that people get to know about me, what I can do, and people will step forward to tell me that they want to help or they need help on this. I have been asked to speak at many different radio shows, but this is one of the first ones, Richard, so that you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for next few months, I will be doing a lot of interviews, and I'm trying to reach to the right people so they could communicate with me how I can help them. So I haven't, to answer your question, I don't know yet, but I know a lot of people who are powerful who are reading my book. I was told they like my book, and I'm hoping that it's going to go from there to next step where they want to have my consultation so I can help them move to the next step so that we can all make a big difference together.
I've often used the analogy that there's this lifeboat, and mm-hmm. that this lifeboat has enough room for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is only one condition for entrance, or if you will, to this lifeboat, and that is that you must be willing to let go of the ways of the past. Mm-hmm. We're not taking those with us. And that if you're not willing, then as much as we would love to have you and we know that you have something to contribute, we're not going to rebuild the past.
Mm-hmm.
Look where we are. Look at what that's gotten us.
Correct.
You know, we're pretty clear on that, you know, that kind of thing. So this is a lifeboat of inclusion, not exclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Again, with that one condition, and I think that's a reasonable condition.
I completely agree with you. I have actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because this week's blog I just finished writing is Living in the Present Moment. So I tell my readers, past is gone. You don't have it. You can't live there. And future also is not here either. You have right now, right this moment. And I like how you put that way.
When you observe what's going on around the planet these days in terms of the various, I'll call them skirmishes or even disagreements for that matter, in what context do we find some kind of solutions from your star family as to ways to resolve these matters, to have these people put down their, I don't even want to say put down their weapons, because if they put down their ideologies, they put down their various stances in their beliefs, and there's nothing wrong with having a belief. Mm-hmm. If you want to believe that the earth is, you know, the earth is square and the sky is purple, I give you all the power in the world to believe that. But that doesn't mean that I have to believe it too.
And I agree with you.
So what kind of message from your star family do you have to address that particular dynamic that's going on these days?
Well, at this moment, I really haven't discussed much about that with my star family.
Mm-hmm.
So without having them come out and speak,
mm-hmm.
I cannot really speak for themselves.
I understand.
So, I believe everything happens for a reason. So right now, what things are happening, maybe because of that, so many of us are waking up. But that's not the reason we should just let that be.
Right.
So the action is needed. But maybe there was a reason why it happened, what it happened till now. But then again, future is with us. We can make a difference. We don't have to follow what we have been following. We can change. So I would definitely going to get back to my star family and discuss what they suggest on that.
Maybe something else, too, to put to them. They say that we are where we are today, doing the things that we're doing based upon the choices that we've made in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to be in a different place tomorrow, we need to make different choices. The problem is that we don't know what choices there are to make. How do we find out about the new ways, as we like to say on this program, the new ways of living, the new ways of doing things? If we haven't been educated in the diversity of life and living it, how can we choose those things?
I think, again, I write some stuff about that in my book and also in my blogs. People seek answers from outside. We have been so disconnected from our heart and what we know. And I think it's about time for us to connect and find answers from inside. So I'm a big believer that we have to start look inside and connect and feel, because heart is connected with your soul. You know what you need to do deeply. But you have been so disconnected from that for so long, so it will take time for us. But if each of us make a commitment to connect to your soul and your heart and live from there, I think the change could be very rapid. I mean, way faster than we expect.
What about this period of transformation that we as human beings are going through, with everything we've already discussed, taken into consideration? There are those who also say that we are going to evolve physically, not that we're going to evolve to a new physical place, but that we as human beings are going to evolve into a new type of body.
I do not know exactly where we're going to go with that. I haven't really discussed that with my staff family, so I'm not speaking for them here either. But I do believe we are going to evolve consciously, and that means our vibration is going to change. We are not going to stay the same. And I could definitely see probably 20, 30 years later, I think the capacity of our, what we can do consciously would be very different. Physically, I would imagine it would go with, you know, if you evolve consciously, I have to imagine that's going to go with physical. But I do not know. I haven't discussed this with my staff family, so I couldn't say for them.
When Jesus was alive, he did a lot of miracles, made a lot of very interesting things happen. And I've often observed that for him, that was normal. But he also told his disciples that when he was asked about this, he says, well, sure, you'll be able to do this, but you will be able to do even greater things than this. And so I have to wonder if in the process of raising our consciousness, if we will begin the process of developing, some have even speculated that we will evolve and develop telepathic abilities, bilocational abilities, those types of things.
I totally believe in that.
You do?
I do.
Okay. Okay.
And I well, I don't want to say I know so, but, you know, again, I'm a clairsentient, you know?
Right.
That's where we're going, because we, again, we had these abilities all along, but we forgot to how to use it. So it is of remembering how to do it.
Right.
And again, as we evolve, that, you know, newer babies will remember more than we are. So it is only going to that direction and not the reverse.
A few final questions for you before we wrap up our program. Who is Ariana?
Ariana is a messenger of love and oneness. She brings inspiration. She's here to share her knowledge and love, and she wants to help humanity and Earth.
What is it that you hope to achieve? What is it that you want to or would like to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Oh, there are so many things I want to achieve, especially I wrote them in my book as well. I have so many dreams and hopes. I do hope that people find love and happiness, and people learn to evolve and do the lessons through love and happiness instead of disappear and disappointment and hardship. I think we can learn the same thing without going through difficulty. I think it is our choice. I think we are evolved now that we could learn our lessons through different kind of ways. We don't have to go through what we have done in thousands and thousands of years. If you want to learn same lesson, we can learn through joy instead of disappear. So that's what I would like.
And who inspires you?
That's a tough question. Well, so many people. It doesn't have to be famous or wealthy or just people who are living from their heart, who share their kindness, who are pure, who want to help. I have so many people around me that, you know, who wants to do right. And those people inspire me.
I want to thank you so much, Ariana, for sharing your time and story with us here on the program. And if you find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me, Richard. Take care.
You're welcome. Again, the website is astarchild.com. That's astarchild.com. The book is Light Atonement. Ariana's been my guest. Again, my thanks to you for joining us on the program, and I hope that you folks will continue listening to the broadcasts as we bring them to you each week. They're archived at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. Until next time, Love Talal.